With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, when we met with them and we gave them the offer, we told them, this is the best we can do. We went right to the finish line very quickly, and we said, if this is of interest to you, please come back to us. We'll see whether we can finish it up.
All right, that was Nationals owner Mark Lerner, the younger of the Lerners, right, the son, with Grant and Danny here on The Fan. When Grant asked him basically before that, pardon, you didn't hear.
Heard.
Colin Cowherd and the herd. About the reports of a 10-year, $300 million offer, right? So there was more to that interview. Again, it was a great interview. And Mark Lerner, again, very candid. And the reason why we played that back is because Max Scherzer is basically teeing off against Major League teams and executives and owners for doing exactly what his ownership group did and what his agent, as you pointed out, does on a, I don't want to say it, on a regular basis, but from time to time.
Well, it
everybody
seems like most
media.
Agents have their certain reporters that they like to go to. I'm sure if Adam Schefter was on it,
exactly,
he would tell you the same thing.
Exactly. I mean,
he would probably be able to name the guys that right. come to him to get this information out. It's all a game.
Right. I mean, you
as reporters, we report information,
right,
but we can be used.
Yes, absolutely. And this is what people do not understand about the reporting business, and quite honestly, why I hate it, is because you say, well, only report from people that you trust, right? I get that. I understand that. Sometimes you can trust somebody, like most people would trust Jay Gruden. Just to use him as an example, right? He's the head coach of the Washington Redskins. And for the most part, Jay is a pretty honorable guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
he's a pretty straightforward guy. But there's sometimes where Jay Gruden has to lie or tell you something or say something on the record or even privately that just isn't true to protect what their intentions or what their situation or what their thoughts or what their philosophy or what their belief is.
Case in point, when I was trying to break the Wayne Rooney story,
Wayne Rooney,
when he was arrested at Dulles Airport.
You did break that, right?
I did. I called his agent in England, and his agent denied the whole
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm. And well, you had that.
And then it turns out the mugshot and the whole nine.
Mm-hmm.
So even though his agent may have been a trustworthy, like, he just had to protect the interests of his client in the whole situation.
Exactly. So people,
they're not under oath when they talk
right.
to
people
reporters.
People lie and use and manipulate however they want to, right?
And it's up to us to decipher
right.
how much of this do you report and take as fact, and how much do you say, okay, I guess I can't go further with this because I can't confirm it from a credible source if they're going to lie to me. I mean, I've been in that position.
And you could, and here's the thing that people don't realize.
I confirmed it a different way, not through the agent.
Right.
Because the agent wasn't able to confirm it, but we have to check with multiple sources
yes.
before we can break a story, unless you're unethical, but that is what you're supposed to
do. But here's what you always should remember, right? When you say corroborating your story, right, sometimes it's hard to get a second source, number one. Number two, I would say this, right? If it's always best if you get two sources that are on opposite sides of the aisle, if you will, right? Think about it from a political
standpoint.
But not
too close to the same
right,
source.
That are close to the situation, that are familiar with the situation or knowledgeable about the situation, but don't have the same agenda.
Right,
meaning,
right, right.
Or don't have the same, aren't basically under the same umbrella. Meaning, if you go to an agent and an agent tells you, yeah, my guy's going to get signed with, you know, Team X. Well, you shouldn't check with, you should then reach out to the team,
mm-hmm. Team
right?
X.
To Team X, because they should be able to corroborate.
And reach out to his current team,
right?
Probably too.
Right. Or basically what you, I guess it would work this way. If you, say, went to Jay Gruden, and I'm not saying you, or and I'm just using Jake just because he's there, right? If you went to Jay Gruden and you said, is this true or whatever, or can you confirm this or whatever, and then you went to somebody else on his coaching staff and said, hey, is this true? Right? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want to necessarily do that, even though that's getting a second source and that's getting corroboration, right? Because they could be in cahoots. They could be on the same page. They could be basically lining up and saying, yeah, yeah, it's true. It's true. It's true. Because they have an agenda, or they have a mission to protect or prevent or whatever, or to mislead or to kind of create subterfuge or whatever. Mm-hmm. You ideally want to get people on opposite sides of the aisle, basically.
Right, right.
So anyway, the point of the matter in all of this is Max Scherzer believes that it is ownership, executives, specifically GMs from teams using the media as pawn pieces that say, okay, we have no interest in these guys, so that's hurting their market. That's why Bryce Harper, that's why Craig Kimbrell, that's why Dallas Keuchel, that's why Manny Machado are unsigned, right? Mm-hmm. But I think just the opposite. I think while there has been some reporting that Manny Machado's agent has specifically and vociferously denounced from Bob Nightingale, and I forget who the other reporter was, that he came out specifically and hammered in a statement, I think it was Buster Olney, if memory serves me correct. While they've come out and said specifically, no, these are erroneous reports, these are wrong, da-da-da-da-da, the media, again, can be used just the same by teams as it can be by agents, by players, all of that, right? To
right.
create market value, to create interest, to create inflation. So it works both ways. So I think Max is talking out of turn here is the bottom line. Am I wrong on that or no?
I don't know if he's talking out of turn. I do think that the issue with baseball free agency does seem to be a little out of whack right now.
Now, you
but
said
if
that.
If something gets fixed, I feel like it's going to work in the player's favor. I mean, from a fan's perspective, from what I hear from fans all the time, is that many of them think that, and this could possibly be wrong, but I think they think that these players are commanding too much money.
Yes. But see, when you say the system is broken, right, or when people say the system is broken, how is the system broken? Just because we're sitting here on February 15th and some high-profile guys haven't gotten the sweetheart deal that they want? That's what they're talking about. There's nothing broken about the fact that Manny Machado hasn't signed.
You know what? Because now that you pointed out, fair point. I mean,
right?
This didn't have to drag out if Bryce Harper signed the 3-10 10-year offer that the Nats offered,
What's
which seems pretty reasonable.
Right. What's broken
because
about that?
Because now, to be honest, that number, whatever he signs for, is probably going to be fairly close to that.
Yeah. But I guess my question is what's broken about that, right? So that's what I keep going back to is, yes, the owners and yes, the general managers may hurt a player's value ultimately by leaking something out to the media or by not saying, you know, on the record, hey, we have an interest in Bryce Harper or whatever, or by not trying to do whatever it takes to sign everybody. Yes, I can see how players kind of look at that and say, why is a small market team like Arizona trading away Paul Goldschmidt? Why are they letting AJ Pollock go? Well, what they've decided to do is they've decided that they can't win with those guys. So that what they've decided to do is make trades to replenish their farm system to try and rebuild that way and to try and win that way at cheaper, controllable costs, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of being in the free agent market or instead of paying top-end dollars to top-end players.
Right.
So I guess I could see it from that perspective if they're coming out and saying, look, you know, this is our plan. Our plan is to build through the farm system. I guess that's what he's talking about, But I don't even know if that's what he's talking about when he criticizes teams. That's what I'm confused about, because I don't know what teams have come out and said, like, we are not going to win this year. We are not going to try and win this year. We are not going to sign this guy. We are not going to try and go after this guy. Teams make decisions all the time, right? I mean, you have to. The Mets have, you know, the Nationals made decisions. They decided what they wanted for their baseball team, and they went out and they aggressively attacked it. Nobody had a problem with that, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I need to see more about this Max Scherzer conversation and exactly what he's thinking with this. I'm trying to Google it now.
I don't know what he's thinking. That's the problem.
I mean, it seems like he's, I don't know. I don't know if it got taken out of context or what he's, where, what sparked this in him, but it doesn't add up.
All right. We're going to put this to bed for right now. I'll probably get into this more on Sunday when I'm next on from 11 to 3. I wanted to get into Gilbert Arenas.
Oh, boy.
Coming back to the big three. Did you see this?
I might have.
Gilbert Arenas, big three. Is that going to make you watch? And also, are you going to watch the Alliance this week? And, oh, yeah, there's a certain Redskins head coach that has a former Redskins head coach that apparently has a new job. We're going to get
Jim
to
Zorn?
That. There you go. She ruined the tease. So, Arenas, the AAF, and
Zorn.
At one point, there were T-shirts made, I think, by the Junkies. Horny for Zorny, right? I thought that would get you perked up. On the Fan. All right, we're with you till 10 o'clock here. Overtime on the Fan on a Friday night, along with Aaron Hawksworth. I'm merely the Rooster, Chris Russell. PJ Elliott on the other side of the glass. He's got an update coming up at the bottom of the hour for Rail on the Bench coming up at 10 o'clock. He'll take you on this Friday night. We get on out of here. Snowmageddon coming tomorrow. Do you have to deal with the snow? Do you have to shovel and all that stuff?
I do. I actually enjoy it.
You do? Well, you're from Canada, so, I mean, you're used to the maple syrup snow.
I mean, she's going to be draped
in her Canadian flag, drinking maple syrup out of a flask with pancakes, right?
Sounds delicious.
And what else did we decide? Singing the Canadian National Anthem.
Yes.
And shoveling snow. Yes?
How much snow are we supposed to get?
I don't know. It's like 1 to 3 inches or something like that.
This has been a crazy winter.
Really? It has been?
Well, I've only been here 3 years, and I got lucky. Like, it has. We had that one blizzard, but that was like a 3 or 4 day thing. Like, this is consistent, like, snowing 1 to 2 times a week. To me, that seems worse.
Yeah, we've gotten a little bit of snow here and there, which is more typical of this area than I think, like, the blizzard that we got. What was that? The winter
PJ?
2015. But it was, I think it was January 2016, right?
Yeah,
like out in Loudoun County, I got like 33 inches.
Wow.
I think like
the really, really bad one happened in mid-February, like 2013, 14, somewhere in there. We had three snowstorms on top of each other.
I don't remember that.
Ooh, see, we haven't had anything like that.
No, no.
Where it's been like just a disaster and slammed with snow.
And tomorrow's not going to be anything remotely like that. I mean, and the fact that it's a Saturday, of course, helps.
Yeah.
Too. But you're used
to. These snowstorms keep happening on the weekends.
Yes. Well, that's a good thing because there's less people.
Unless you work weekends.
Well, yeah. But there's less people on the road. So even if you do work on the weekends, while it sucks, there's less people on the road than normal because everybody's paranoid.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Everybody's just battening down the hatches and whatever. You, like last week when we worked together, you showed me a picture of like the grocery stores in Seattle. What did you ever follow up on that?
Like, oh yeah, they actually got that. And that thing was actually the real deal.
Oh, how many inches did they get?
Flights were canceled. Really? My mom sent me pictures. I want to say they got over a foot at least.
Really? Wow.
And I think it happened several days.
Over several days?
I actually don't quote because I don't know. And my mom is taking care of my nephew in Charlotte, but she was sending me pictures. But yeah, it was the real deal because I was going to go home this weekend. And then I thought, you know what? I might get stuck because they just keep supposed to just keep getting snow and snow, I guess. I don't really know that much about it. I have other things to do than focus on their weather.
Things to deal with. Other dragons to slay. All right. How about this, right? You ready for this?
What is it?
You weren't here when Gilbert Arenas decided to pull a gun on Javaris Crittenden. And
I missed all the drama.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the last... I've been.
Did you go in the locker room to cover that?
No. I was in the locker room several times that year. That was the last time. Before that incident, which was late November of 2009, was the last time I actually covered the Wizards as a member of the media. I have not been in the Wizards locker room since early November 2009. That's now 10 years.
Wow.
Okay, that's pretty crazy, right? So
Not even during a playoff run, someone asked you to go?
Nobody did. I've been to...
you said nobody did.
I've been to one Wizards game in the last 10 years.
Wow.
Okay, so by
two
your...
2 years ago, I mean, I would go on my free time. Yeah, I would go on my free time on my nights off.
Right, and Hoffman would go all the time, too.
I mean, he loves
the NBA, right? So, I know Dukes talks about this all the time on his show. He loves this big three league. I've seen it on television.
Yeah, my friend Nate Robinson played in it.
There you go. I've seen it on television. I can't say that I've never watched it. I can't say that I was, like, remotely interested. But Gilbert Arenas is going to play for the big three.
Which team?
I don't know. I forgot. I'd have to double check that. I'd have to look that up. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No,
it's okay. I had it up.
That's got to be starting up soon, right?
I think it's...
He's going to be a captain.
He's entering the draft pool.
Oh, okay.
So that's why.
Oh, that's right. He's going to be a captain for the 2019 season.
So
he signed with
Gilbert
the big three. He is 37 years old. So,
same
you know,
as me.
I'm sure he can still ball, right? He promises the return of Agent Zero. All that stuff, right? So here's my question.
I can't believe it's going from four teams to 12.
That's pretty crazy in and of itself,
I mean, that's
right?
actually the lead. The fact the big three is going from four to 12
right.
teams?
Right.
I mean, if Chad Dukes likes it, it must be the real deal.
Now Dukes likes some weird things.
I know. I love Dukes.
But I would say this. I don't like Gilbert Arenas individually as a person. I think he's a really mean person.
The last time I researched it, I'm sorry, these players make about $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
Which, if you're, you know, maybe weren't a star player, it's not bad.
I mean, Ice Cube's probably got plenty of money, right, to take care of these guys.
I mean, $100,000 for whatever short season this is.
Yeah.
It's not like they're playing in the NBA.
Right. But. You're not, you know, basically at this point, Gilbert Arenas knows he's not coming back to the NBA. So here's the question. Would Gilbert Arenas's presence, and you again have no connection to him, unlike, you know, here, meaning in Washington, D.C., when a lot of people remember Agent Zero, the last time the Wizards were, I don't want to say the last time the Wizards were relevant, but when a lot of people, the attention was really on the Wizards.
I really liked
Gilbert Arenas as a big-time NBA player,
and it would, yes, draw my attention.
Even though you didn't cover him and you weren't
even
here when
I've
he was
never
playing.
Even interviewed him or seen him or anything.
Mm-hmm. So you would specifically be intrigued?
Absolutely.
Would you go to a game if you knew Gilbert Arenas was playing somewhere near
Not
where you were?
Not just to see Gilbert, but only because I'm intrigued by the big three overall, and I love basketball. So I would go to a big three game. And if Gilbert happened to be playing, that would just be a little bit of an extra bonus.
They are entering their third year, right? They had television audience and ticket sale growth in year two. Like you said, they'll expand from four teams to 12 teams. So whenever you make a meteoric jump like that, you worry, okay, are they overexpanding or is that a really good sign?
Yeah, we're seeing the same thing in the NBA 2K League. Those are expanding too.
Yep. But that is supported by the NBA, right?
Oh,
that
yeah, is, good point. This is a separate entity.
Exactly.
Good point.
Exactly.
Good point. I'm an idiot.
But no. But they're playing on two nights per week instead of one. They're visiting 18 cities over the course of the season. Now, they're going to have the draft, which usually takes place in April. They're going to fill out the six-man rosters. I remember Jason Williams, I think White Chocolate, they called him.
Yeah.
He got hurt. He like tore his ACL in the first game. But they're going to have Lamar Odom, Will Bynum, Steve Blake.
I mean, Lamar might be a big draw just because of everything he's been through personally.
Right.
Some people may be just curious to see how he's doing health-wise. Other people love a second chance and are probably going to root for him that hopefully he's healthy now and can do something. You know, that's a great story right there. I hope he's doing well.
Wizards fans might like this. Gilbert Arenas, going back to him, said, quote, "I want all my Wizards teammates that didn't shoot the ball. I want Ethan Thomas, Brendan Hayward. I want Deshaun Stevenson, Kwame Brown. You know, they already know my style." Then he called for Eddie Jordan, the former coach. "Where you at? We already know the plays." So Gilbert is trying to recruit the old band back together to get everybody together on a six-man roster so that he knows the players, he knows the scheme, he knows the system, and he can just shoot 40 times a game.
I love, love, love the competitiveness
right?
there.
How about that? Now, I don't like Gil as a whole. I mean, not only the gun thing, a lot of the things he said on Twitter has been,
I don't know a lot about his off-the-court stuff. I did like him as a player. Mm-hmm. I missed all the drama around him.
Yeah, it's not only what happened in 2009, but it's also what he said on Twitter. He's been very, very mean, very mean-spirited. I think he's just largely immature, and I think, quite honestly, a lot of the times that he said some of the stuff, he's been, I don't know, maybe not sober, or I don't know. Because just normal people don't act like that. But then again, it is Twitter. And as we can both attest, there are a lot of mean people on Twitter. All right,
but there's some nice ones. I'd like to point out the nice ones.
Absolutely.
Like Russ, who tuned in and listened to us tonight. We've got some nice compliments, too. So
thank you,
Russ. Can't leave out the nice folks.
And my pal Bill Sullivan, who always listens. And Bernie in Rockville, who is always a gem. We appreciate all of them. We got to get to Jim Zorn coming up as well. What was the other story that I had mentioned? Jim
Zorn. Horny for Zorny.
Yeah, well, that, absolutely. And, the Alliance. Because
will you tune in? I watched the first weekend.
There you go. Will you be locked in tomorrow night for
locked
the Alliance?
In.
Colin Kaepernick won't be. He's not going anywhere near the Alliance. But will you for week two?
What about Josh Johnson? Is he playing?
No. He's with the Redskins, man. He's with the Redskins.
He can't do both?
He said, "I'm not going to Mike Martz." Screw that. Mike Martz already benched his quarterback.
He'll be ready to go for the season if he just keeps playing.
Well, that's true. I guess he wants to be around for the OTAs in the offseason. All right, PJ's got the last sports flash of the evening. He'll do it right here, and he'll do it right now. Aaron and I coming back for a final half an hour of Overtime on the Fan. All right, my thanks to Chase at the Bald Bassman on Twitter. He pointed out that the forecast has changed a little bit for tomorrow.
Okay.
So I looked it up on my Weather Channel app, and this is for D.C. He sent me the one for Fairfax, but, you know, for D.C., most of the listening audience. AM clouds, flurries or snow showers possible early. Cloudy skies early will become partly cloudy later with a high around 45. So they're not saying like the 1 to 3 inches that apparently we were originally forecasted to get as of like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's going to be as bad, but I mean, clearly you could get some snow showers, I guess, early tomorrow morning in D.C. and depending on where you're driving around. So basically, here's what we're telling you. Sleep until 10 o'clock.
Yes.
Stay in. drink a couple of hot cups of coffee, watch a little TV, maybe clear out
Netflix.
The DVR or Netflix. Again, if you're Aaron, you can drape yourself in a Canadian flag. Again, drink Canadian maple syrup and do whatever it is that you do. And you can avoid it all. And then you'll be fine. And then you can go out at about 3 o'clock. It'll be, oh, I don't know, 41 degrees, and everything will be cool. So there, it should be no problem.
It's going to be a letdown, though. It felt like it was 70 today, and then it's going to go down to like 30.
I know, but that's okay. That's okay. I mean, it's still late February, or I guess mid-February. All right, so Jim Zorn is getting a job, according to Alex Marvez, in the XFL. Not the Alliance, the XFL, which starts next week. Next year. Jim Zorn, the former Redskins head coach, has kind of bounced around. He's kind of coached some of these all-star games, all that. He is, of course, again, most known for two things. Two bad years as the Redskins head coach and the way he got the job. And his press conference where he called the Redskins, instead of the burgundy and gold, the maroon and black.
That I still can't believe. Like, that is amazing to right? me. What is better, that or Bruce Allen calling Kurt?
Well, I mean, he still disputes that, you know, he was saying his name wrong and all that stuff. I mean, there is no dispute about Jim Zorn. Now, I wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, I was in the area.
The
I was not
maroon and black.
Yeah, I was not at that press conference for Jim Zorn when he did get the job. Now, look, this makes all the
is
sense
that
in the
not,
world.
Like, really
right?
epic.
I mean, but I think Dan Snyder, if memory serves me correct, like corrected him, but said maroon and yellow or something like that. I have to double check that part of it. I think I remember that part of the story. Like, Dan corrected him, but didn't say the right colors either. I could be off on that slightly,
wow.
But anyway, the point of the matter is that, yeah, that was his welcome to DC moment when Jim Zorn, again, called the Redskins the maroon and black. The burgundy and gold, as they, you know, as they're commonly referred to. So anyway, he's going to, now it's not official. Marvez reported that he's going to coach in the XFL. We assume that's as a head coach. There is a Seattle franchise, but it's not reported that he's absolutely going to coach the Seattle franchise. But using two and two together, and you have spent a lot of time, obviously, in Seattle.
Correct.
Jim Zorn is not scorned up there, right? They are probably still horny for Zorny up there, right?
Hopefully. I mean, how can you not with
right.
a nickname like that?
Exactly. I like when your voice like gets all like salty like that.
Oh, my gosh.
I like that.
I mean, that's a great opportunity, right?
Right? That's good.
I think it's awesome.
I mean, that's good. See, here's the thing. I think everyone that need, like, I'm kind of surprised Mike Shanahan hasn't gotten somewhat sort of just that itch again to just be out there. Now, he has nothing to prove, but so maybe that's why he's made so much money. Of course, he won two Super Bowl rings. Like, to me, if you're any kind of coach, like Jim Haslett is right now out of a job. He's let go in Cincinnati. By the way, they can't find a defense. Just, I'm thinking of guys that I've covered or maybe that you've covered, here, and I'm trying to think of guys that are out of work that you've covered here. Most of them have new jobs already,
yeah.
Right? But my point is I would, hell yeah, I would absolutely go to the Alliance. Hell yeah, I would absolutely.
And it's gotten a lot of great publicity. I mean, sometimes these, like, new leagues and stuff
yes.
that start off are
yes.
sort of the laughing stock, kind
yeah.
of like the Big Three. People didn't really know what it was.
Right.
Now it's got some success. It doesn't quite have the stigma it used to. AAF, like, it hit the ground running.
Now, here's my question. If you had a choice to be the head coach of an AAF team or an XFL team, meaning AAF.
AAF.
Now, they've been.
I'll already say AAF.
Okay, why?
I don't know, because The XFL, it was so sexual. It was so sexualized before.
Are we keeping you up?
PJ's reaction to you yawning on the air—that was great. Oh, he looked at you like, "What the? You do it?"
Maybe I was like mid yawn. I didn't know you were going to ask me a question right then.
Sorry.
But yeah, I think the XFL had such, you know, it was so sexualized the last time it was around.
Right.
That as a woman, I just, no, I'm good.
I think it's going to be the exact opposite this time. I think Vince McMahon is trying so hard to be the exact opposite of what the old XFL is. I'd be stunned if you see any of that marginalization of women in the XFL. Here's why I asked the question. In the Alliance, you're coaching right now, right? So you're out there, you're on national TV, whoever's watching CBS, CBS Sports Network, people in the media are kind of buzzing about you. They're talking about Mike Martz benching a guy, talking about Mike Singletary, talking about, you know, this coach and that coach, and this player and that player, right? Whereas in the XFL, you get probably more job security, right? Because the league doesn't start until next year. So, of course, they've got to sign you to a contract. If they're going to hire you, like Bob Stoops, right? Mm-hmm. They hired him as the head coach and the general manager of the Dallas franchise. Of course, Bob Stoops got contract for now to build the team and to build the roster.
Correct.
But he also got a contract, I presume, for at least next year and maybe the year after whatever.
Yeah.
Meaning you probably have more job security if you're Jim Zorn by taking the XFL job, right? Because you get a job now or whenever it becomes official, even though you're not coaching now. But if your true desire is to get back to the NFL, if your true desire is to maybe hopefully get, I don't know, a college job out of it, or at least a coordinator job, if not a head coaching job out of it, well, you can't show your chops if you take the XFL job. So you're exchanging essentially security. You see where I'm getting at?
Totally, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like NBA players, you know, if they're weighing, do I go maybe play in China, or am I better off where I can make a lot of money?
Right.
Or should I gamble and make pretty much no money in the G League, but I might get seen a little bit more?
Yep, yeah.
Both of those are risks.
Well,
you got to decide what's best for you and your family.
Or should I sit out, maybe rest up my body a little bit and hope that a team is going to be desperate for whatever.
Your position in the need.
Exactly. Yeah. Down the trade deadline or even after the trade deadline.
Right.
Think about it. When teams can't get what they want at the trade deadline, which is now passed.
They can sign a guy.
Exactly. Exactly. So you have that balance. By the way, are you going to watch the Alliance this weekend or
no? I will, especially now that we know it's going to be maybe a little bit snowy, might be staying in, just relaxing. So I also will be watching NBA All-Star.
Yeah, see, I have no interest in that at all. I have more interest in the Alliance.
You're not a big NBA guy.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm going to force myself to
I was actually kind of sad I'm not watching the celebrity game.
I'm sorry. We could have turned it on.
Oh, my. I didn't mean to, like, say, for you to say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just am, like, looking on Twitter like, oh.
I watched it. You didn't miss much.
Okay, good.
So, like, on Sunday night.
The guy from the Migos won MVP. Quavo.
See, I'm kind of sad I didn't.
Who's that?
Quavo.
Like the dunk
Jose
contest
Quavo?
Definitely isn't what it used to be. One thing I was kicking myself over is the fact I didn't apply for a credential because my brother lives in Charlotte and his birthday's on Monday. It would have been a great excuse because I love the NBA to just go to Charlotte this weekend, see my family, and also see an actual All-Star game in person.
Right. No, yeah, that's a good point.
Should have thought about that.
It's a good point.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Too bad, so sad.
Yeah, I don't love the NBA. I don't know why I've kind of fallen out of faith, but I'm not a huge college basketball guy either.
I mean, just always loved basketball.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's
maybe because I grew up in Seattle and it rains all the time and I just loved basketball.
I mean, it's weird. Like, I like it when it's played at a very high level. My sense is that when I watch an NBA game, I'm disappointed by the quality
traveling.
Of play. Not necessarily.
What did you think of the Bradley Beal travel?
No, not necessarily the traveling and like look. I understand they score a lot of points,
but and there's no defense.
My thing is I want to see like I don't love the game right now where it's just bombs away from 3-point land or layups. I know everybody loves that. I don't love that. I like to see a good mid-range jump shooting game. I like to see good free throw shooting. It drives me crazy that nobody can make free throws.
Right.
Or a lot of teams struggle and a lot of players struggle with free throws, because that to me is easy fundamentals type stuff. All right, we'll come back, put the icing on the cake next, right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We got to do something fun. We haven't had any fun. Got to have fun. Fun, 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 fun on a Friday night.
Woohoo!
All right, we welcome you back. We wrap up the show. It is overtime. We just have about 5 or 6 minutes to say goodbye here. It was Valentine's Day yesterday, right? A day. Is Valentine's Day a holiday in your eyes? Or is
no.
it just like a made-up day that...
You know, it's funny you said that, because I was driving home from work thinking, oh, I should have wished this person and that person right. happy Valentine's Day. Like, I wasn't really thinking about it that much.
Right.
I guess it's a holiday. Like, my mom sent me a card because she's the sweetest person in the world.
Right.
But
I mean, even if you're in a relationship, right? And you're supposed to, you know, do the whole flowers thing or the chocolate thing or the go out to dinner thing and the romantic getaway thing and whatever. I mean, you know, like, nobody has off on Valentine's Day, right? It's not like a holiday
right.
like
so
Christmas or
if
whatever.
If it falls midweek, it could be kind of inconvenient for...
Right. And restaurants are always jammed. Restaurants are always... you know, it's hard to get a reservation. It's hard to get into a restaurant just because a lot of people just, okay.
We have to go out to eat because it's Valentine's.
Yeah, if it falls on a weekend, then, of course, there's even more problems with that. You know, I think it's a day where, like, I hate that it's become, it's only about the relationship that you're in, you know, whether it be your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or somebody that you're dating. Like, to me, I think the ideal thing for me, this is just me, for Valentine's Day, and maybe this isn't fun, is, like, I think it's a good day to express your love for anybody that you care about, right? Like you said, you have a great relationship with your mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, you know how close I am with my kids, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they started calling me at 6 o'clock. You know, morning, happy Valentine, happy Valentine, you know, like, you know, and I was texting my daughter, you know, throughout the day, you know, like little heart emojis and, you know, like stupid
so
stuff.
Sweet.
Like, you know, just like, I've come to realize that, you know, I mean, I've had a lot of people, unfortunately, in my life, in my close circle, pass away in the last year. Thank you, but I didn't mean to like make anybody sad, but like, you never know when, of course, that's going to happen, right? So to me, I kind of look at Valentine's Day, maybe I'm weird, maybe I'm wrong, as a chance to kind of forget the romantic part of it. I think that's so overdone. I think that's so tired. Yes, there is a romantic element. Yes, okay. But you should be doing that stuff if you're in a good relationship all the time or on a regular basis anyway, right? There's nothing wrong with bringing your sweetie or your person or whatever home flowers or cooking them dinner or taking them out to dinner or spending time or whatever, right? My point is, you should be making sure that you reach out to the people that you really love,
yeah.
that you know that are your most important people.
That's
and really
good.
Making
My mom
sure that
was
you
the
kind of
first person yeah. I reached out to.
And I think sometimes if you're not in a relationship, you tend to look, oh, it's black, whatever day it is. Oh, it's Valentine's. I've heard the Girlentine's Day.
Galentine's.
Galentine's Day, not Girlentine's Day, right? I mean, like you know, like just... I don't know.
I mean, I'm single, and I really wasn't down on myself about it
at all
this year.
You're okay.
Yeah,
you said you were fine, right?
Yeah, but I guess it's just your outlook on the situation. You know, I feel like I'm in a good place.
Right.
And like you said, my family's healthy. I'm very grateful for that. And so I just wasn't focused on, like, woe is me. I should have this or that today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just more in a different mindset about it this year. There have been years where I was like, oh, it's so sad.
Yeah. See, I don't know if I
care that
much.
I don't think I did either.
Yeah,
really.
And again, I would also say this. To me, like I tell, you know, like I tell the people in my life, I love them all the time. You know, I care too much, I think. That's why I struggle with Twitter. Not to tie this back to me or Twitter. Like, I care too much about what people think of me and what people view me as. And I want people that are important to me to know that I'm far from perfect. I might be in a bad mood a lot or you know, grumpy or whatever, but I do love you, you know? And I try and do that every day.
Yeah.
But sometimes you don't do that, but Valentine's Day is a good reminder.
I mean, even when times get tough, I always try to appreciate my family. Yeah. And even if I'm like, sorry, I was a little bitchy today. I'm really stressed out, but I love you and I'm sorry.
Yeah. And you should never, ever, ever be afraid. Even as a guy, me, you should never be afraid to tell somebody you love them, right? Your kid, you know, your brother, your mom, whatever. All right, that's going to put an end to the radio program.
We love our listeners.
Absolutely.
At least
we love
them. We really do. Some really
all
kind,
of nice guys.
Sweet tweets. I was going to say texts.
Absolutely. We have to say goodbye. Thanks to PJ Elliott.
Thanks, PJ. Aaron
Thanks, Blue
Shorts.
Thanks to Blue Shorts. I'm Chris Russell. Good night, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.